Wow. Well, if you would open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23, that's where we're going to be today. Joshua chapter 23. And we're actually going to be able to read the whole chapter today because it's pretty short. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua writes these words. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God has promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, and as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he has promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our God, we once again thank you for this time that we have together on Wednesday nights to gather as your people and to pray to you, to offer up supplication and requests and praises for who you are and in dependence upon you for the things that we need and the things that we ask. God, we do pray as well this time that as we study your word, as we learn from it, that this would charge and give energy to and words to and substance to our prayer lives, that we would pray according to your will as it is in your word. Lord, help us to learn much during this time, and help me to be clear in what I say, and that ultimately Christ would be exalted through the words of Joshua 23. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we saw last week in Joshua 22, we have come to the conclusion of the book of Joshua, in Joshua 22 to 24, where the major question is, now that the people that are under the fulfilled covenant promises of God, now they are living at rest in the land in God's presence, how are they to live now? How are they to live? If all the promises have been fulfilled, as Joshua says, what are the people to do moving forward? Is their job now done? Well, these last three chapters of Joshua tell us that the people need to be three things generally. The first is united in worship, strong in leadership, and faithful in everything. And last week in Joshua 22, the unity of the people of God in the worship of God alone was seemingly being threatened. And as we saw, it was ultimately resolved through wisely executed corrective discipline and a consistent reminder of the altar, of the fact that all the people are united in the worship of God. The second thing that the people of God living under fulfilled covenant promises should be is not only united in worship, but also strong in leadership. And that is what we see today. And this strength of godly leadership has already been evidenced in the last chapter. This emphasis on the strong leadership of God's people is actually throughout the whole book, as we saw with Joshua being exalted as the leader, as a sort of new Moses, and how God blesses his people through the obedient servant. But also in the last chapter in Joshua 22, Mark actually pointed this out to me. He's not here tonight to receive his praises, but he pointed out to me that I didn't emphasize as much last week, but that the people wanting to war against the other people, the 2.5 tribes, was actually sort of an overreaction, and that the proper way of going about this issue was actually the way that they ended up doing, which was by slowing down, not being immature and rash in their thinking, but finding older, wiser men, and then sending them to discipline and to confront the other tribes. But the emphasis is this older, wiser men like Phinehas and the leaders of the tribes to go and appropriately confront them. Strong, godly men in leadership. This is what the people need. And we see this theme continued in our text today. The question is then, what does strong, godly leadership look like? Joshua answers this question himself in Joshua 23 as he, the leader of Israel, addresses those who will lead after him in the presence of all Israel. And he tells them this, that godly leaders are devoted to the word of God and passionate for the person of God. Godly leaders are devoted to the word of God and passionate for the person of God. So first he tells them that godly leaders are devoted to the word of God. Joshua starts out the chapter gathering the leaders together and all Israel and speaking to them, reminding them of the things that are already true that we saw in the first 21 chapters of the book, that the Lord has fought for them, he has fulfilled his promises to them, and he has given them this land. He has driven out the nations from before them. But the people still need to finish inheriting the land, as in getting the rest of the nations out. They've been given the land surely already, but they still need to get some of the remaining inhabitants of the nations out of their land. And Joshua shows that the way to do that has not changed from the original command that God gave in Joshua 1. He says in verse 5 that once again, the Lord, by his sovereign power, will continue to drive the people out from before them. The only thing that the leaders have to do and the people after them is this, in verse 6, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the instruction of Moses. Here again, we see Joshua 1 repeated to us, again at the end of the book. It was also repeated in Joshua 22. The plan has not changed. It has not changed. It's the same thing. A blessed life in the land will continue the same way it started, meditating on God's instruction, trusting in him and in his Messiah, and obeying all that he says. It's not only something that Joshua tells the 2.5 tribes, but also the leaders of the people. This also echoes the end of Deuteronomy, where Moses is charging Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, and he uses the same exact words that Joshua 1 uses and Joshua uses here. Joshua, in this way, mirrors Moses once again as the servant of the Lord, the obedient and faithful leader of God's people, passing down to the next leaders the same charge. What Deuteronomy and Joshua then make abundantly clear is that strong leaders, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joshua, whether it's the rest of the people, no matter who it is, are people that stand firm on the word of God, that meditate upon it, that trust in God because of it and through it, and then obey everything God says in it. And notice the purpose for this command. Why do the leaders of God's people need to be strong? Why do we need a leader who is strong in their devotion to the word of God and obeying everything it says and trusting in God through it? The purpose in verse 7. so that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. The people of God need godly leaders to be strong in their devotion to the Word of God, because the alternative is idolatry. That's the alternative. The moment the Word of God becomes a suggestion, or a nice option, or maybe second place, or it's a nice thing to consult once in a while, the moment idolatry takes hold. The further a leader is away from the Bible, the nearer he is to falling to false religions and false teachings, and if the leader falls, then everybody else falls with him. This is why Joshua does not say to just keep and do the word, but the main command is to be strong. Be strong and to keep and to do the word. Idolatry and false teaching is all around them. It's attacking them, so to speak. They're very vulnerable if they let themselves be. And he says, don't just keep and do the word, but be strong to do these things. Be very careful to do these things. The leaders, if they are not strong, resolute, and firm in their conviction that God and His Word is the only way to truly live and to receive the blessings of God's covenant, then false teachings will take advantage of their weaknesses and cause them to abandon God altogether. Elders in the room, which is Zach and Don, or fathers, husbands, parents, be strong to keep and to do the Word of God. To read it, to devote yourself to it, to never stray from it, because it will have a disastrous effect on those who are under you if you do. Those who you influence will be directly affected by your lack of devotion to the Word of God. And everyone else, if you don't fit into the categories I listed, if you're not technically leading something in some way, first of all, pray for those in authority above you. This is a very high calling, right? To stay completely devoted to the Word of God and to be influencing those under them and to be responsible for people under you in this way. So pray for them. Pray for our elders. Pray for your parents. Of course, I think maybe Cody might be the only one that's still under the authority of his parents right now. But they face a task and a weight that is very great and difficult. So pray for them. They need God's help. But Joshua does not only address the leaders directly, but he also addresses them in the sight of all Israel, as Joshua 22:23 says. So he expects the people, in this way, will follow the example of their leaders. So this is also a charge to you too. That even if you're not a leader in the proper sense of the term, that you are still to remain devoted to the Word of God, that you're supposed to follow your leader's examples and to never stray from it. Because the alternative is idolatry. It's following after your own sinful lusts and own sinful desires and worshiping all other things except for what God says in His Word, which is Him. He is supposed to be the object of our worship. Leaders among the people of God must be first devoted to the Word of God for the sake of their own souls and the people. And everyone else should follow their example. The second thing is that leaders are to be passionate for the person of God. As Joshua continues in verse 8, the people are not to worship other gods, but, he says, you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done this day. And he continues in verse 11, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Joshua commands the leaders to cling to the Lord and to love Him. God's people, in other words, need leaders who do exactly this, who are not only devoted to His Word and obeying Him, but that do so, who are devoted to Him because they are clinging to God Himself and they love God. They do everything out of an affection for God. It's interesting that the word that Joshua uses for cling here is the same word used in Genesis 2, when God says that a man will forsake his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they will become one flesh. It's also used in Ruth 1 when it says that Orpah left and went to the house of her fathers, but Ruth clung to Naomi. This clinging is combined with love and affection for the person that is being clung to. So when I say bye to my wife whenever I drive up here to make the 45-minute trek from Cedarville up to West Liberty, I don't just, you know, give her a fist bump. I cling to her. I give her a hug. And I tell her I love her. And my clinging to her is an expression of my love for her, because of the fact that I don't know what will happen between this time I see her and the next time, if I will see her again. But also, this clinging and this love is even deeper than that, as we saw in Genesis 2. It's God's grace and his beautiful design that a husband would cling to his wife in this way. And Joshua is telling his leaders that in order to lead well, in order to lead as godly people, that in order to get the other people to avoid idolatry, then they must love God and cling to him in this way, permanently, devoted to him, as a husband clings to his wife. They must have a deep, abiding affection for God that causes them to cast themselves on him every day and to never give their hearts to another. The basis of these commands to love the Lord and to cling to him in this way is the faithfulness of God. You see the therefores and the fors here. Cling to the Lord your God just as you have done this day, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. The grounds of the command is the faithfulness of God. In other words, if somebody asked you, why should you love God? Why is God deserving of your clinging to him, of your affection for him? Because he has done what he's promised. Because he is a faithful God. Because he has proved himself over and over again that he is deserving of our love, our affection, our devotion. Because he has shown himself to be the one true God who redeems his people, who shows his love for his people by being faithful to them, despite their unfaithfulness to him. There is no other God like him who can fight for you, who can save you, who can redeem you, who can show true love to you, who can be faithful to you, unchangeably. And therefore, he alone is deserving of all faith, of all dependence, of all love, of all devotion, of all affection, of all satisfaction, and all glory. People who are godly leaders are characterized by this kind of affection for God. That they daily would cling to him and they wholly love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So once again, elders, fathers, husbands, parents, is this how you live? Do you exercise authority in your God-given spheres out of the overflow of your affection for God? Do those under your care know and see that you are one who clings to him and to him alone? For everyone, as we follow the example of those above us in leadership, hopefully, do we cling to our God in this way? Do we have all our affections placed on him? So God leaders are not only supposed to be devoted to the word of God, but they are supposed to be passionate for the person of God. They're supposed to cling to him and love for him. And in closing, Joshua finishes out the chapter with some pretty strong language. He says in verse 13 that the people should know for certain that if they would go after other gods, that the Lord will no longer fight for them, but will make them perish off the land. And then in verses 14 and following, he reminds them that not one word has failed of all the good things the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one of them has failed. But then he immediately says, after all this faithfulness, that their failure to obey Their failure to devote themselves to the Word of God, to cling to Him, to love Him alone, their turning to idols will cause them to face the wrath of God, and they will be exiled from the land. This is just like Achan, right? His death was not just a physical death, but it was symbolic of exile from the life of God, from the presence of God, spiritual death. And if you read much further into the following books, you will learn that this happens pretty soon, by the end of Kings. Israel's leaders and Israel's people do not devote themselves to the Word of God. They do not cling to the Lord their God and love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every single example actually shows this. Even David. God kept up His end of the bargain, but the people did not hold up their end of the deal. But friends, who could, honestly? Who actually could? Certainly not us. The standard that Joshua gives here, this devotion to the Word of God, this passion for the person of God, is simple, surely, but it's impossible, right? You have to devote yourself to God completely, love Him, cling to Him, and never go away from Him. Easy enough, right? Left to ourselves, friends, we're just like Israel. We'll completely fall on our face and be exiled from God's presence and face His wrath. The people of God, in other words, need a leader who is completely devoted to God and His Word, who is unwaveringly passionate for Him alone. They need a leader who is unshakably and utterly zealous for God and is dependent upon Him, obedient to Him, and who will instruct God's people in doing the same. Who will be the ultimate example, yes, but also He's one who can take away sin entirely and teaches people to walk in His ways forever. It'd be really nice if we could just have a leader who could change hearts, right? And we know this leader quite well, because He has done this for us who have trusted in His name. His name is Jesus Christ. Leaders, friends, and everyone here, the only way we will stay devoted to God and His Word and love Him and cling to Him is if we first look to Christ, who is our leader. If we see His example, if we believe on His name, and then by faith walk. By faith, cling to God. By faith, devote yourself to His Word. This is how we live. The life I now live, we live it. In the flesh, we do it. We devote ourselves. We cling to God. We cast ourselves on God every day. We express our affection for Him. But we do it all by faith in the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. That is such good news for us today, friends. And I charge you to do the same. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for Your Word. And we're thankful for these words that were written for our instruction that show us necessary truths that we need to devote ourselves to Your Word, that we need to know You more through Your Word, that we need as well to cling to You out of a love for You every day, to love You with all our being. But God, we understand also that we are sinful, that we so constantly fail, but that You have provided a way for us to be righteous and holy before You, to grow in this way of living, in this righteous way of living, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice on the cross, and the giving of Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You and praise You today for that. And we ask that by Your Spirit, that You would teach us more how to live like Your Son, that You would cause our hearts to cling to You every day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.